Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You're listening to Griefcast with me, Carrie Adloyd. How do we grieve for someone? How does it change and evolve as we get older? My dad died when I was 15, and it took me many, many years to be able to express what I had gone through. So I decided to create Griefcast, a chance to talk, share, and laugh about the weirdness of grief and death. But with comedians, so it's not that depressing, I promise. Each time I talk to a different comedian about their own personal experience of grief, as we remember someone that they have lost along the way. Whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club, this is a chance to talk about the peculiar human process of death. Welcome to Griefcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Griefsters, hope you're having an okay week. Thank you so much for tuning in. That's not right, is it? Listening? Downloading, that's the word I'm looking for. If you follow us on Twitter or Instagram at The Griefcast, you'll see we were nominated for a Rose Door Award this week. We didn't win, sadly. A programme made by the World Service about the moon landings won. But I didn't mind at all because the Rose Door is very prestigious and it was the first year they'd actually let podcasts be nominated. So thank you so much for being part of that and listening and sharing the love and spreading the word about Griefcast, because it wouldn't be possible without you. I said, if you do enjoy it, please do tell people, let people know. If there's a particular episode that you think will help, feel free to tweet it. I'm always retweeting stuff on at the Griefcast that might be useful. But yeah, thank you very much to yourself and the Rose Door and the whole jury. That's the speech I didn't get to make. Also, last week, if you listened to the intro, I think there's about five of you, I said that this was going to be compilation episodes. It's not. I forgot we had an episode left. So next week will be a compilation. So if you do still have a clip from the 2019 episodes that you'd like to hear again, please do tweet me at The Griefcast and we will try and put all of those together. This week is a special live episode from Guy's and St Thomas's Hospital in association with the palliative care team. They are an incredible team. My contact there, I don't know if she's in charge, but my contact there is an amazing lady called Kim St John. St John? How do you say it? I think St John, isn't it? Sorry, Kim. Kimberly St John, who has just been changing the conversation around death. She's incredible. She's been organising events since I met her last year about death and conversations. She organised a talk with myself and the lady who runs Copperfield and another lady, Erica Buist, who's writing about death festivals, and she sold it out. She writes these pamphlets of how to talk about death and will and do not resuscitate forms. She's just making sure that this conversation about death and grief does not go away and is normalised, and she's also an amazingly brilliant human being. So it was Kim that invited us to come and do our first ever live episode at a hospital, which was really interesting. Most of the audience were members of staff, I think, not necessarily from palliative care either, just doctors and people who worked at the hospital. We didn't have a mic in the audience, so it sounds like they weren't laughing, and it sounds a little bit sometimes like there was only four of us there, but there were other people in the audience very much enjoying it. It was an incredible experience to have those conversations in a hospital. I was joined by three brilliant stand-ups. Heidi Reagan, who won BBC New Comedian of the Year. She co-hosts The Guilty Feminist sometimes. She's also the host of Radio 4's Grown Up Land. Rajiv Karia, who's had a brilliant up-and-coming stand-up in amazing Edinburgh this year, and Glenn Moore, who has been on Mock the Week and Comedy Central and is a very, very funny human indeed. And they very kindly came to talk to me about grief and funerals and death and all sorts, and it's an extremely funny and lovely episode. Hope you enjoy. Hello! Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for having us at Guy's St. Thomas's. We are here as part of the Let's Talk Transforming End-of-Life Care Conversations. We're invited here by the palliative care team and specifically Kim. Would you welcome to stage your comedians for the night? Please welcome Heidi Reagan, Rajiv Karia and Glenn Moore, everybody. Give them a round of applause. Oh, I love the centre aisle. That made it feel like you were definitely on a game show. thanks for being here, guys. Much appreciated. I'll start with the big questions. Glenn, how do you feel about death? Is it something that you think about a lot or you're worried about?
No, I kind of think... I had a bit of a think about it a couple of years ago.
And now you're done.
In the same way, but like I realized like about 10 years ago that I couldn't clip my fingers and I couldn't whistle. So I spent like one afternoon just teaching myself both those things. And I was like, okay, now that's done. And so I did the same with death and dealing with that a couple of years ago. I was like, okay, I've had an afternoon of thinking about that. I've put some time aside.
What was harder, the clicking or thinking about death?
The clicking, because it took longer. With the death thing, it was like... I think I've gradually got my head around the idea that just the idea that your brain would just switch off and there's you would just stop, and so there's nothing you can really, you wouldn't know it's happened. So even if you were like seconds away from certain death, you still wouldn't know it was definite until it happened, at which point you wouldn't know it's happened.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So the way I see it is like, well, it's there's no point worrying about it because it could happen at any time. the way I see it is like there is no need in worrying about it because and in the same way that there's no point worrying about it with anyone I know, because even if there's someone, if there was a relative who I knew was ill and you think, oh, it could happen in a few years, exactly the same thing could just kind of come out the blue on a random midweek day, so there's no point thinking about it.
That's very practical.
That doesn't terrify you?
Oh, enormously so. But I try and be as sort of formal about it as possible. Like, I don't want to wear a tie, but it's the only way I can sort of feel like rigid about my whole life, you know?
I love that it took the same amount of time. I actually don't believe you can click because you haven't done it yet. You keep talking about it.
Oh, damn it. Yeah.
Oh, well done. Well done. That's really... Rajiv, how do you feel? Do you feel as calm as Glenn does about it? I think it's very calm.
I think I grew up... I thought about death a lot as a child. I spoke to my parents about this week, and she said, "Yeah, you got incredibly morbid at about age 5."
Wow.
And you wouldn't go to... I didn't want to go to school because I was worried that my dad would die while I was away.
Oh.
And then she said, "But you never were that worried about me." And I was like, "Oh, I think that's just because you were never going anywhere."
Right.
You were too special. I think I was just incredibly morbid. And then I thought about it more recently. I thought, I don't really think about it. And when I do, it doesn't really worry me in like an irrational way.
God, you guys are so calm. That's
well, incredible. I thought maybe it's because I'm really mentally robust. And then I thought, oh no, what if it's because I'm so mentally fragile that my brain can't even handle thinking about it? So it just doesn't let me.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's up to you to find out.
Yeah,
you and your therapist. Yeah. That's amazing that both of you are very, very calm. I think about it all the time. I worry about it all the time. I mean, I've made it worse for myself by doing a weekly podcast where people tell me horrific stories of death, which does make you think, well, it can be pretty bad. It can be pretty bad.
I think as well, I guess I'm in a lucky enough position where I haven't had any major ones in my life. You know, I've had the classics. I've had like grandparents and stuff like that. But outside of that, I haven't really sort of had any. And at the same time, I haven't really, for many years in my life, been in a situation where I've got anyone who's sort of dependent on me or who I'm dependent on.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you sort of feel you're more responsible for people.
Oh yeah, that's when the anxiety creeps in.
Yeah, yeah.
Heidi, how do you feel about it? You're as relaxed.
I mean, I feel pressure to be cool and calm now. I worry about death a lot. I've only had the classics.
Classics, yeah, great.
So I worry a lot about anyone else. And I have lots of friends.
Your top 10.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. In a not helpful way. And I have people who I'm still friends with that we would have drifted, but I've just suddenly imagined them dying and then felt bad and so then kept in touch with them. So it's really hard to keep up. But I'll just be like, I think that person's a bit of a jerk. And then I imagine their funeral and how sad I'd be. And I go, oh, you know what? I regret that. And we love, so I stay in touch. And
that must be so time consuming.
It is so time consuming. Poor me. And then in terms of my, I don't worry about my own death, but I, not in a brave way, just in a switch off way. And I know it's not brave because the very few times where I've had a possible like health scare or something that we're fine in that, but the second I got it, I freaked out and was like, no, not me, the world can't do that, me. And also I get scared about dying because of my own, like, because I didn't check something and my mum being angry at me right before I die. So it's more about being in big trouble.
Yeah, your mum being like, I told you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I like, said 4 weeks ago, get that looked at.
That's yeah. Kind of, yeah, yeah. So,
oh, that would suck. That would yeah. be really bad.
I did think the other day how, you can't, there's no way to know who, what people's last thought is, but I bet like over half the people, it's just, oh, I can't believe I've done that.
Yeah.
It's like a sense of being like, oh, I'm so stupid to let yeah. myself die like this and yeah. then done, yeah. out.
There must be a lot of that. There must be a lot of like, and imagine trying to, I mean, these guys have that, to minister to that if someone's done. The worst we had, which we mentioned on the Griefcast Live before, which I'm so sorry, this is someone you know and love. they died getting their head stuck in a cinema seat.
What? Oh yeah, I remember yeah. that. Yeah,
and that just for me is oh that's, what? Yeah, I don't know how. All but, I know is that's how they
but
died.
But also the worst thing about that would be, and this did come true for them. But oh, this is going to be on the news, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
But although, having said that, the one thing that made me feel better, I say better about that, it wasn't me, and I can't really say this on behalf of the person. But they later died of their injuries.
Right.
So they didn't die.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah, so they weren't like killed by the cinema scene.
Great.
They in
fact, because that's what I thought. It's like they just got stuck, and then their friend was like, "Oh, you just picking up your popcorn." Oh my god, he's dead.
Yeah,
like,
you've been picking up your popcorn for ages. Yeah. I think they were hospitalised.
They
starved
to death. With their head stuck.
I guess the good thing about that is you kind of become a cautionary tale. It's not
yes,
the best way.
That's true.
It's yeah. not a motorcycle accident in a local town, but it's yeah. just. You
but
know,
how do you legislate for that? The next time I go to the cinema, everyone goes, by the way, don't. I guess
put your
lean
head
in any way. Get away from there. Get away
yeah.
from there.
Yeah. Also used to get my head stuck in the banister repeatedly, so I now feel like a survivor. Oh, quite brave.
Why repeatedly, Heidi? Why are you putting it back in there?
I don't remember the motivation, but I remember the shame every time it had happened again. Being like, oh, I remember this.
Remember, she said, and again, you were in big trouble.
Big trouble, big yeah.
Heidi, have you thought about like how you want to go? You said you're not really thinking about your death, but like, is there a sort of ideal?
Obviously, I think about the farewells, the many people grieving. I think I would like a good couple of weeks to have some parties.
Just a couple of weeks? So you want someone to say, you've got 2 weeks left?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, go hard, 2 weeks of partying, but not long enough to have pressure to go bungee jump.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah, because I guess if it's 6 months, it's like, you could go traveling the world. And
yeah,
you're like,
oh, for God's sake, no. Kill me now. Yeah.
So just a hard 2 weeks. And
hard 2 weeks.
But solid partying.
Solid parties. Do all the drugs I never did. Become horrific so no one misses me. They're like, oh, she was a wreck at the end.
She got really unpleasant in the last 2 weeks, actually.
She was so drunk at that party. It was awful.
Yeah.
She was really rude.
She had her head stuck in the banister for most of the night. That's my bucket list.
Twice. We told her, Heidi, don't put it in there. Yeah, that's okay. Solid 2 weeks. Rajiv, what about you? How do you want to... You've obviously been worrying about it since you were five.
I feel like all of the deaths that I've known of, like in my extended family, they kind of were just gone. They were old and then they'd had a heart attack and it was done.
Right.
And it'd be nice to have some time, like maybe like be told, right, you've got about 6 months because then you can, you know, come to terms with it and you can see the people you want to see. But then, you know, there's the degenerative
you
nature
might be in pain.
Of it all. Yeah.
That is the thing with the slow 6 months. As I'm sure some of the people here can tell you, you might be in pain.
Yeah, imagine it's no holiday.
Yeah. Well, look, it's your death. You can plan it if you want, like, oh, in 6 months, you're going to have a heart attack. Wouldn't that,
I'd
be
love to be able to schedule the heart attack.
Yeah.
Should be like, oh, it's going to be coming up in, some sort of like paranormal being comes and visits you and says, you've had a good run, you've got 6 months left, get your affairs in order.
Put it in your iCal. What are you doing Thursday? Oh, heart attack.
You just know you wouldn't look at it. You'd be like, I've got something today. What is it? I've got something today. Thud.
Yeah. Maybe that'd be good. Then you're not worrying about it.
Yeah. I'll write it on like a post-it and then I'll put it on the fridge and then it'll fall off when I'm out and then I'll totally forget about it. And then I was supposed to tell my wife something. What was it? And it's gone. And then, it's gone. And it's good. Yeah. Fair warning. Yeah. I have 6 months kicking around, maybe see some mates. Even better, maybe not. and then done. Yeah. I don't know if I'm that good with pain. Maybe just, heart attack would be nice.
You're both very like 2 weeks to 6 months. It's quite, you could, you know, it's not very long, really.
I think we're both presuming this is going to be in like 40 to 50 years.
Oh, I see. So you're imagining very old.
Yeah.
That's what people do who've only lost the classics.
Yeah.
You're like, I'll be 85. Like, because I'm like, so it could be next year. So like, what do you want? Yeah, okay. But that's just me and my death anxiety.
No, I'm going to be partying hard as an 80-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. What do 80-year-old parties look like?
You're taking drugs. I've been to a lot. I haven't thought that through.
But. Okay. But that's what you're imagining old.
I mean, I was imagining soon for the purposes of
Hence why
I thought the party. But now that if I'm 80, maybe just
you
a week.
You only wanted 2 weeks soon. If it was like, Heidi, you're going to die next week, you'd be like, oh.
I think if it was longer, that would just, I'd just get in my head. Yeah. Get in the old noggin.
Just be worrying about dying.
Yeah, I got a party to plan. I'd rather focus.
Yeah, so okay. That, yeah. That's fair. Glenn, how do you want to go?
I think Odeon more than Cineworld. I would quite like to be like world record old, like in the 120s.
Really?
And for a friend or relative to kill me. Just because then when everyone would then hear about sort of like, oh, the oldest person lived to be 132, and then obviously they passed away because his wife shot him. And everyone would be like, what? I beg your pardon?
Killed by a local 131-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Came for the title. Is that old, yeah. Mm.
I think, but if it was to happen really soon, I'd really want it to be out of spite. In the same way that like, when you had like a police officer who would come to your school when you were younger and tell you not to do drugs because they'd be like, if you have one ecstasy tablet, you will die. but that fear led me away from most hard drugs, not all the hard drugs, but most of the hard drugs. And I really want to try one of those hard drugs for the first time for it to instantly kill me and for me to be able to be like, I told you. Like, I knew this was going to happen.
Yes, yeah, so like all your cool friends who take drugs, because I'm the same, I don't. And then who are like, you're not going to die. And then you do. And they're like, God, he always thought he would.
Mm. Yeah. And then you're back to that terrible feeling of, I can't believe I bloody died.
Yeah.
First one. That is so me.
We were just talking before and Rajiv was saying that you can die from eating...
And then swimming in the sea.
And then swimming in the sea. What? So I think that's how you should go, Glenn.
Yeah. So the idea, so what was it again? If you eat and then you swim in the sea.
That's
and if
the
you,
idea, if
you
that was a myth.
If you stay underwater and you hold your breath, then you do... It's called drowning. But it's correct. What was it again?
Come on, explain this theory.
This is one of these things which I think I was told once, but I've just completely taken it on as gospel. Maybe somebody here can correct me. Or in that if you eat like a substantial meal and then go straight away into the sea, a cold sea, the blood that your body needs to digest the food will go to your extremities to try and warm you up, and that could kill you.
I feel like that's not true.
wasted at the beach.
But also I feel like the circumstances are so far away from anything anyone would naturally do after a massive meal to go, oh, that sea looks freezing. So in we go.
Yeah, because you're more likely to be on holiday. Maybe you've had a large paella and then go straight into a warm sea because you're like, oh, and then you might get a tummy ache because you're like, oh, I've had a stitch. But
that's what I thought, that was a myth.
Yeah, which I found out that is a myth.
Yeah.
They go, oh, you shouldn't go swimming after, like, to tell you as kids. Well, apparently, it's like, it's not great. Like, you know, you might feel a bit like, you might get a bit of indigestion.
You might die.
But dying from the cold sea, I'm not sure.
That's the thing. I was told it once, completely believed it as true, told these guys if it were true, and now we're in this pickle.
And now I'm absolutely frightened of going into the Atlantic after a McDonald's.
But that's good. We all know we're not going to do that. Do not go into the Atlantic after a large curry. That's fine. You've taught us something. Heidi, do you have thoughts of your funeral? So if it is a 2-week party,
yeah.
Are you going to have a party funeral to follow to keep in with the theme?
When I left a job, me and my friends had a thing in the backyard where we made a fire and burnt my payslips and stuff and tried to do like a Viking funeral.
At the place you worked?
Well, in the backyard of my friend Natalie's house. Okay. But it was, we all worked together and we burnt the payslips. So I like Lord of the Rings and all that. So when I die, ideally, I would like to be on a boat and someone shoots a flaming arrow at the boat to set fire to it.
Sorry, Lord of the Rings. Is it Boromir that happens to?
I think Boromir goes, he doesn't get set on fire. He goes down the river.
Yeah.
But Game of Thrones, they did set fire to. Yeah. And he kept missing the boat. It was very amusing in the time of grief. It was great.
Sorry, we just had a brief fantasy
quite so you want fun for the grievers as well, just like a bit of a game.
Oh, so people take it in turns, a bit like a fair.
Yeah.
To shoot a flaming arrow into a corpse.
Yeah.
Are you on, like,
and they're still angry at me about what I was like in the last 2 weeks that they want to do it.
Yeah. At the party. Yeah. God, fucking Heidi.
Yeah.
Give me the arrow. Give me 2 arrows.
I'll have a tape recording playing on me going, you can't get me. Like, great shot. And then I'll give them more motivation.
Good one, losers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Every now and then it's a, I love you all. I'll miss you.
Also, I guess it's quite nice because it gives all of your friends and family the opportunity to see what it would be like to fire an arrow into you without any consequences.
Definitely test I'm dead, otherwise manslaughter. To get manslaughter charge.
Where is this? So are you on a river?
No, I'm in my bedroom. No. I guess a river.
Okay.
Doesn't matter where it leads.
Yep.
Council will sort that out wherever Rivendell. I show up.
What on earth is this?
Lewisham Council. This is not okay. You were arresting all your family for shooting flaming arrows into the Thames.
It was her wish, I guess.
Yeah, guys, you need a permit for this sort of thing. So just on a river and so everyone's lined up along the riverside with one flaming arrow that gets passed down. No, you'd have that wouldn't work.
I guess everyone could have an arrow, but that they'd have to all be on the same side. Otherwise, if they overshoot, oh my goodness, I've not planned this well.
There's going to be a few more Viking funerals the next week.
Yeah.
Bring the boat back. We've got another couple of bodies to add to the funeral
pyre. I don't
know
if it works with it, but before this, I had also always planned that for make everyone a bit happy at my funeral. Does anyone know the Disney Robin Hood film?
Yes, classic.
Do you remember the tune in the opening credits where they're all walking along? It's like, doo-doo-doo-doo. I wanted that to play as people brought my coffin in and they have to dance like in the... But then they're going to have to put it on a boat and then shoot me full of arrows. So it's... But arrows is Robin Hood, so...
Yeah, I didn't have...
I also told my girlfriend I want that tune at our wedding because we've sung it together now. And then she was like, but you just... It's your funeral song. I'm like, marriage is like a funeral... No, I didn't say that.
I think that's nice, though. If you had it at the wedding and then you play at the funeral.
Yeah,
I
think circle of life.
Yeah, circle of life, exactly. That's kind of neat. I now want you to have a Disney Robin Hood themed funeral and for everyone to come dressed as crows or whatever he is.
Yeah.
With their legs in those big boots and the beaks and the hats.
I think it would really be a respectful affair. But everyone has giant beaks and is shooting arrows at me.
I had a pair of knee-high boots once that looked exactly like the boots he wears.
Amazing.
I really enjoyed it. Anyway, we're not doing Robin Hood podcast.
I have been severely misled on what this podcast is.
Sorry. Let's
it's
do
very
that.
Very morbid for Let's a Robin Hood.
Let's do that separately.
Okay, right. Yeah.
The bit where he gets the rings. Always, amazing. Rajiv, what do you want for your funeral? Have you
I'd quite like to do some pranks. Some classic pranks.
Pranks. What do you class as a classic funeral prank?
I'd love to have like insist to someone that the song I wanted to hear, like, I'm not, you must play this, it's very special to me, but I don't want to tell anyone why. And just pick some really, really bad novelty song.
Oh, nice.
Like
Monster Mash.
Monster Mash. Oh, he loved this. He really did. Like anything really, something that people really loathe though. I think Monster Mash it slaps too much.
It's quite fun.
It's quite, I think people are like, this.
Baby Shark.
And there's also like an undead vibe to it, which is quite
terrible.
Relevant.
Yeah. But something people really go, ugh. And I think, I like to think amongst my friends and family, they think I've got some good musical taste and this will completely shatter that. They'd be like, he didn't know anything.
What if it was like Baby Shark, but you get Ellie Goulding to do a beautiful slow acoustic version?
John Lewis version.
Yeah, John Lewis version.
A John Lewis of any song that shouldn't be a John Lewis version.
Yeah, yeah.
Breathy cover of something like the Monster Mash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something off a terrible advert. Yeah.
Baby Cakes.
I would probably buy that.
There you go. It's like just something to really have them go, give them pause where they go, oh, okay. I guess
it'd be nice if it was the slow Ellie Goulding version, so like it plays and everyone's like, oh, this is beautiful, and then they start listening and they're like, isn't this Baby Shark? Yeah. Like, so it takes a while for it to like hit the crowd.
Yeah,
I think that would be good. Yeah, that's a good prank.
I think I'd like to invite some girls from my secondary school who I haven't seen in years, just so they know they completely missed their chance. Fully missed the boat. Sorry, ladies. This man's taken by Hades.
Who's sending those invitations? Because you're not. You've died.
He had 6 months.
Oh, he's got 6 months.
I got
6 months.
Yeah. First thing I do before Post-it goes on the fridge, just like get onto Facebook, find any of them. Find anyone. Yeah. You rejected me.
Do you have a list in your head of like three you can immediately name?
I think I just get a random mix, because then they'd see each other and be like, oh. You as well.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
I didn't know you were still friends with Raj, even though, like, I wasn't. I just got this Facebook message.
We really missed our chance.
Damn. What if they don't say that? That's my what if they're like, I know it's so weird he invited me, but I felt guilty.
Well, it's the Glenn thing. I won't be there to see it.
Yeah, true. You won't be there. You won't be there.
And, you know, numbers, bums on seats.
Yeah.
Could you get your friends to somehow make it more? You'd need more people involved in that scheme, is what I feel.
Oh yeah, it's true. I think I definitely have a few people on the inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Those
are
the people who are saying, yeah, he did like Baby Shark. Yeah, it really moved him. And I think, yeah, big Ellie Goulding fan. Yeah, I guess it's guys didn't know. But yeah, a couple of insider people, and also I'd love to spread some sort of lie about hidden gold.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hidden gold, which is weird. You know, he did Edinburgh, and why didn't he use his hidden gold?
It's weird. Clues. I don't know. Something buried underneath the garden. And then I think most people would just be like, oh, it's probably rubbish. For one person, you have like a national treasure star. Oh,
yeah.
And they go find it.
So how are you going to spread that rumor? You need to like leave different clues in different places.
Well, I guess you could leave things behind for people, like a little map or something.
Yeah,
for someone,
yeah.
Particularly for a friend you have who you don't really care for anymore. You're just like, this is for you. Don't show it to anybody. I always liked you the best. Hate you so much.
Like half a map, maybe.
Yeah.
And then die. And then you need the other friend to find another half map.
Yeah.
And then to put it together and be like,
they get to the location, they dig it up, there's a box there, they open it up, it's a picture of me giving them the finger.
That is,
and they go, that was the real treasure. And they're like, actually,
the real
that's
treasure
quite sweet.
Was the friends we lost on the way.
The friends we lost and the adventures they have on the way. Yeah. And then they should probably write a film about that. And it would probably do quite well, because that's a nice idea. Of not being a treasure. That's nice. That's nice. Glenn, what are you thinking for your funeral? How are we thinking?
Deadly serious. Like, genuinely deadly serious. Okay. And then I really like the Viking.
Yeah,
idea,
also,
but I again, to keep it sort of serious, I'd be in a hearse, and then someone would fire a lit arrow just at the hearse as sort of driving, like puncturing one of the tires, and it sort of spins off the road,
causing a huge explosion. The whole street's empty.
Because there's a initially, I think my first ideas about ever having a funeral and realizing that will happen, I kind of leant towards the idea of, oh, it would be more fun for it to be like a celebration and everyone sort of has. Yeah. Fun, but having experienced a couple of those, I didn't really like it. I had a friend who died a few years ago, which I realize sounds a bit weird, because at the beginning I was like, oh, you know, I've only had a couple of grandparents die. I have no repressed memories at all. And suddenly up here, I'm like, oh no, wait, a friend of mine died a few years ago. But that was like a fun funeral sort of thing, and everyone was supposed to wear like bright colors and stuff like that. But it wasn't fun. You were just crying in a Hawaiian shirt this time. And
that is the saddest image. Loads of Hawaiian shirts
together. You can't pretend. Like, even it, like, it's kind of what the wake's for. And that's the worst bit's done. And you kind of want everyone to have that. You want to remind everyone just how much you're going to be missed. So you want everyone to be, like, really sad. So that afterwards, then you can have sort of a bit more an enjoyment. And I think tonally, it's odd as well. I used to work as a a news reporter for a radio station in I won't say where, but it was no, it wasn't a bad one, but just so no, just so there's no like link as to who I'm talking about. But there was because it was when troops were still stationed in sort of Afghanistan and Iraq, and quite a few troops were sort of killed. Every time there was a funeral of a soldier who you know, for the most part, usually in their sort of 20s or 30s, were very young. Every time there was a funeral of theirs, they'd be in all these sort of small villages in that sort of region. And so we'd go along to cover them, not in a sort of nasty paparazzi sort of way, but one way, you know, we'd been invited to the press to sort of cover it. And they would get hundreds of people along, like, but not just their family and friends and relatives, but everyone who lived in the village. But also you'd get military veterans from all over, people in their sort of 80s and 90s, who would come and watch it as well. And so they had so many people all the time that they'd never be able to fit in the church. And so they'd have to sort of gather outside, and they'd put speakers outside as well. And so we would just sort of record the service on our phones, and, you know, the family would actively be like, yeah, you know, feel free to put that on the radio or TV or whatever. And on one occasion, one of these troops who died, they wanted it to be sort of an upbeat funeral service. So during it, they said, we're going to play one of his favourite songs, and it would be, you know, disingenuous to pretend that his favourite song is, you know, like Wind Beneath My Wings or something like that. So they said, we're going to play his favourite song. And they played LMFAO's Party Rock Anthem. And it sounded amazing, because you could hear inside the church all these people clapping, stamping their feet, dancing and having a great time, and they were cheering. But that was inside the church, and outside were hundreds of military veterans with their heads bowed, as just wiggle, 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 wiggle. And it was genuinely one of the funniest and most awkward situations I've ever sort of been in. And I wouldn't want to put anyone through that. And so it was great. For the troops' family and friends, it was absolutely great, because that was something that they wanted to have, and they all experienced inside the church. But outside, it was remarkably surreal.
Yeah, it's... I mean, that's an amazing image. It's tricky when someone tries to make the funeral upbeat. I know what you're saying, because I think sometimes it's lovely, and obviously some people want that, and they're like, oh, you know, like someone is literally losing their shit in the front row. Were you there? You were there. It's difficult. It's so difficult to get right. And I think what you're talking about is true. Like, the younger the person is, obviously, the harder it is to kind of get any joy into it. But you're right, that must have been lovely for his friends to hear a song that he genuinely appreciated. And we had Josie Long on a couple of episodes ago, on a live episode, and she was saying she went to a friend's funeral, a quite young guy, and he was like very sort of cool indie person. But they went through his iTunes record to see what his most played song was. And it was, I think it's right, it was Get Happy by Pharrell. Oh, and they were like, oh, that's not what we expected. Because he'd never mentioned it to anyone. He'd never talked about that. So, but obviously it was just like, he just liked it and he'd been playing it. So they played it at the funeral. They were like, no, we're going to honour what he did, we're just going to play it, because even though nobody knew he liked this song, he did like this song.
I do not want people playing my secret shame songs.
That's a real sort of when I die, delete my collection.
it's the hard drive and the iTunes.
Get it out of there. The worst thing after that funeral would be if they then sort of check the account afterwards and they were like, oh no, that was just the iTunes chart.
Whoops. I know, that's the thing, people
it
might...
was frozen, the soundtrack.
People will check weird things because they're trying to do what's right for you, and then they might see, you know, how many times you've watched that episode of RuPaul's Drag Race and be like, why does she keep on watching it when she knew the winner? I love Latrice Royale.
I think it is good to compartmentalize sad songs into just like, okay, this is a song you only hear at funerals, so it doesn't affect your sort of everyday life when you hear it outside of that. In the same way, if I wouldn't want to spoil a happy song for people if it got played, you know, and I kind of like the idea that, oh, there's one outfit I've worn for every sort of funeral I've been to in the last few years, and it's sort of like, right, I like the fact that is my only funeral. I never have to wear it for any other sort of occasion. And I quite, in the same way, I've only got like one thing I wear at like weddings, and you sort of realise when you're in, and you sort of check your pocket's just full of all the programmes from sort of the previous one. All the cocktail sticks you were too nervous to just find a bin for.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout.
36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to Griefcast with Carrie Adloyd.
Yeah, I have a funeral dress. We've talked about this on the podcast as well. Like, it's such a good funeral dress. It's like really soft, and it's like it's very respectful, but not so respectful that I look like a nun. But I made the mistake once of not wearing it. I don't think I could find it. And it was my mother-in-law's funeral, and I just thought, oh, I found like a black skirt and a black shirt, and I thought, well, this is fine. And it wasn't until everyone was at the house and they'd had food there, and I was holding food out, and I sort of caught myself in the mirror, and I was like, I look like a waitress. Like, the shirt was just a bit too jazzy, and I'd put a belt on, and I just was like, oh, and people thought I was there with the caterers.
And
like,
you had the name tag on.
The apron and the name badge were unnecessary. But it made me so like, oh, you've got to have sticks. You don't change. Wear the dress that you wear to every funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky.
I guess that's one of the downfalls of the fun funeral. They're making you like take something that you like otherwise and associate it with a sad... or an excuse to buy something new.
Lovely. It's true. We are down on fun funerals. We want like full on Victorian choral music and weeping and black. Yeah, I do. Someone, Jeff Lloyd said this in another episode of like, there was a funeral where everyone was supposed to wear football shirts because the guy loved football, but he didn't own one. So he's like, I don't want to buy one just for the, because then that's the, I bought, it's just sitting in my drawer as the football shirt I bought for a funeral.
So did he not do it?
He didn't. Yeah. He checked with another friend who was like, I'm also not doing it. Like, it's fine. It's kind of like, it's an invitation rather than, you know, you can't get into the club unless you're wearing the football shirt. So, yeah, Heidi, what do you want everyone wearing then? Do you want very somber?
I mean, ideally, they'll be in Robin Hood type outfits.
Sorry, I forgot.
I don't think that's fun. I think it's still somber.
Depends if they're dressed as King John.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, I think...
I really love that
Well,
film,
if I'm going to think about it, when you're talking about what you funeral dress... When I went to a funeral a few years ago, I realized I didn't know what to wear, and I don't have any nice dresses, and I didn't have anything nice and black and that. And I was very like, I have no idea. I always show up underdressed, but don't want to do that at a funeral. So in that tone, I would be like, I want to be for my wedding. Wear what you want, guys.
Cash.
Hey, guys, don't spend any money on a new outfit. Here's a list of things you can do. No, I'm thinking of a wedding. Wear what you want, guys. Cash.
You want a, I can't think of the word, a funeral gift list.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say? I was going to say a prize list, and I was like, that is not what they're called, Carrie. I've got pregnancy brain.
Oh, on funeral gift, I also want, not a gift list, but someone to come and give everyone... Gather everyone in a room, give them things that, like, Heidi left this for you.
Oh.
But that will be, like, a prank. Like, the first one will be, like, a sword. And everyone will be like, oh, wow. But then everything else is just, like, this is a box of tissues. And, it's just anything. It's just how they emptied my house.
a knife with your blood on it and now their fingerprints.
Yeah. Heidi insisted that you had it.
Here's a whole load of library books. Libraries across London. You probably return those.
They are all out of date, actually, and they're pretty annoyed about it. So, and it's from a library you don't live near either. So Heidi's really sorry, but it's what she wanted.
Yeah.
It's what she wanted. Heidi, we were talking about funeral, but would you want to be buried or cremated? Or
I think I'm perfectly happy being cremated. But I think by the time, fingers crossed that I get to live to a ripe old age, I think by the time I die, we're all going to be getting cremated.
Oh, you think? Oh, when at room?
Yeah, it's really on the up. It's the big old trend. Only with the dead, but who knows?
Oh, I thought you meant like a global warming thing of like, yeah, the way we're going, really, we're all going to be cremated. Like, oh, fuck. Okay.
No, climate change is important, yeah, then. Yeah. It is going to kill us all.
Yeah. I think a big reason, just because of tradition, but also I've been to a good fair few crematoriums for funerals and stuff, and they're really just beautiful places. They're like, because they've got all this space that they mostly just use to have these incredibly beautiful gardens, and then you can pick a little corner of it and you can have a little sign saying, don't step on me. But it's just something very peaceful about it. Once you get past the going into the room with the gruff-looking man, and he says, all right, you have to be there to see the coffin go into this machine.
Yeah, that's the worst bit of it.
And once you've done that, that can be a bit hard, but then you're like, you know, it's quite nice to be like, yeah, let's not let them decompose in the earth, and that takes years and whatever.
I think it's something very modest of like, no, I won't take up too much room. Yeah, that's what I quite like about it. Like, oh, no, I'm not a whole plot. Just peas in a drawer, it's fine.
That could be a flat.
Like. Exactly. I read something today when I was doing some research that in Germany, they have for years and years, they rent plots. So they don't, you wouldn't be like, oh, this person's buried here forever. You rent it for 20 years under the understanding you don't need it for much longer. And then it's all put into mass grave.
Yeah, was it on your podcast or another one where they said you only get a year in the Netherlands?
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah.
Have I dreamt that? Does anyone?
I only found out about Germany today. Yeah. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Netherlands are like, we're even more practical.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
And because they've got low-lying men, so they would actually... I mean, I'm not a scientist, but... Are you confirming it?
No.
You're just smiling.
Just enjoying.
It's been confirmed, guys.
Yeah, they just rent it, but they were saying the problem is that cremations are really much more popular now. So loads of the the graveyards are being turned into like parks because they just don't need them. And I was like, how German? That's so like...
Yeah, so resourceful. Yeah, they'll turn everything into a park. Berlin, there's a big, what used to be an airport, it's now just a big old park.
Oh. Yeah.
Right in the middle of the city.
They know what to do with their parks. But I just thought it's like quite, yeah, it's nice. And it's I think the other thing that's interesting is cremation's becoming way more popular because people are starting to get more like, oh, I don't want to be in the ground. But how do you feel, Glenn? You were going in? You're going to the ground?
I was initially, my whole life was adamant I'd want to be buried. I just hated the idea of being cremated just in case. Death involves you still being to some extent conscious.
Yeah, but then you'd be buried alive.
Yeah, but it's better. Isn't that worse? It's better than really slow going into an oven going, nothing I can do about this. But I'd want like a TV screen in the coffin just in case.
Okay.
But
so you can watch telly as you slowly.
Yeah.
Little Twitter feed.
But I was adamant that's what I wanted as well, because it would be nice that there is this sort of permanent marker of you. And that's never going to be moved. That's where you are.
Unless you're German.
Yeah. And there is a gravestone that's always going to be there. And then a few months ago, just got terrified. I don't know why, just completely out of the blue, about the idea of, if you are very recently buried, just the idea that there is a very fresh version of you, fully intact, just a few feet underground. And that was just such a horrible idea to me. that I was like, burn it all down. But yeah, completely get rid of me.
What do you mean? Like, what's your fear with that? As in someone doing something?
No. Just, it was just an eerie... It was just an eerie idea that for a brief period at least, there is just, if you were walking through a, like, not in a sort of spooky thriller sort of way. I mean just... It was just an odd idea that there is just a perfectly preserved human body just in a box, just a few feet below the ground.
I think it's a bit weird. Yeah. That's why I've always thought cremation just seems like slightly more
cleaner.
Get to the point.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I'd like to be cremated, but like buried. So the ashes are then buried, and there is a particular plot.
That is kind of how they'll put it about a foot down, I think. They don't just leave it on the side.
Yeah.
Well, you can have all sorts done with your ashes. You know, you don't have to. But you can have them interred, I think, in the crematorium or wherever you want them, you know, church or...
You could be turned into like a cake and then fed to your enemies.
Or your friends.
Yeah.
Rival comedians.
Yeah.
Or we absorb your strength and all your jokes.
Yeah. No, you'd be telling very underwhelming punchlines.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Like, I think I've gone to more cremations. So I grew up thinking that was much more normal. But I know some people are like, oh my God, it's awful. And I agree, the worst bit is the old coffin going into the thing. And, you know, I've seen it done very badly. I've seen it done like where, like, they, you know, like literally the vicar like presses the button and it's like, and then the curtain kind of like jerkily closes round and you're like, oh, there's a person behind. Like, at least make this smooth. But I think that's the performer in me being like, someone stage manage this. This is not working. The audience are aware. But after that bit, once you're in, like you said, once you're in, I was looking at weird funerals today because that's what I do. And I didn't, perhaps you know this, informed audience, what they did with Tupac Shakur's ashes. Did you know this? No. Okay. So he was a famous rapper who died in a very horrible way, where in a big bullet fight.
Bullet fight.
Mm. Is that what we're calling them now?
Don't bring a knife to a bullet fight. That's what we always say.
You should put that in a gun.
Oh my God, the bullet fight.
They can throw those really hard.
Yeah. Oh, he got into a right old bullet fight. Yeah. He didn't win, let me tell you that. Well, I really have not a lot of blood going to my brain. So if you're judging me for being stupid, judge away. The parasite is taking the blood. Anyway, he died in a bullet fight, guys. He was struck multiple times in the bullet fight. Then they cremated him. Tupac's pals had decided that members of the rap... I mean, how white middle class do I sound? Tupac's pals, members of the rap group Outlaw Immortals, which Shakur had founded, mixed some of his ashes with marijuana and smoked them.
No. I did hear about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then this website put, Tupac died as he lived in more ways than one. I was like, all right, guys. Yeah, they smoked him, which is a bit like the cake.
He lived being smoked by his friends.
Yeah.
And then died the same way.
And died in a bullet fight.
Died fighting over some bullets.
Yeah. I was like, not...
That's not how I want to go, I think.
Mean, it's... It's
bullet fight.
Do you know what, Heidi? I think you could safely say you're not going to go in a bullet fight and we're not going to smoke
Do
you.
Do not jinx me like that. Such foreshadowing.
Sorry. Yeah. I thought it was kind of nice he was with his friends, but I was like, it's a bit odd, isn't it?
It's quite sweet that something they did all together. Yeah. Probably, like, yeah. Go around on a Sunday. I mean, there's not that much difference between that and, like, pushing him into the sea.
Yeah, I guess
his ashes, not living too back into the sea.
Maybe that's one of the things that they're referring to when they sort of say, like, you know, be careful where you get your drugs. You never really know what's in the cup. There could be a lot of Tupac in there.
Oh, this is a bit Tupac-y. Yeah. And then I was reading about William the First, just to completely jump centuries. He wasn't killed in a battle fight. He was killed in an arrow fight. You know.
And then shoot them with a flaming arrow.
He didn't. He was thrown against the... he was on horseback. Anyway. So by then he was a large man, grown more stout in his latter years. And according to Book 7th of the Historia Ecclesiastica, he claims that the sarcophagus made for the king was too small... Right, so it's too small. He's got big and fat in his old age. So they tried to force the body into the space, whereupon it ruptured.
I've heard this one.
The swollen bowels burst, and an intolerable stench assailed the nostrils of the bystanders and the whole crowd. Yeah. Not surprisingly, the services were quickly wrapped up. Exploding at your own funeral.
Classic prank. Excellent stuff.
That is grim.
Commitment. Yeah. Years and years of commitment to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, his inside men, they're not going to tell anyone it was deliberate.
Legend. Yes, of course, because he's like, you know what to do, get the small coffin.
I was going to say, he left measurements that he was very insistent that we had very small coffins.
Because I was like, why was it too small, the sarcophagus? Like, you just see the size
Have
of
Have you seen sarcophagus? I think they're always quite small.
But
from my
big,
memory.
Big guy.
But also, to try and push someone into the extent that they tore is like, come on, you must have known minutes before that happened that it was
What could happen? Keep pushing.
Yeah. Maybe isn't it awful if it wasn't though? They just were like, oh, just give it a squeeze and just boom.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the king and he's exploded in your face.
I've seen a few people in open caskets and they always look smaller. They always look really small.
How big was William? How big had he got? That's...
How stout, as they like to call him.
Yeah, they're saying stout. They mean big, fat, gouty king, don't they? Like, that's like Henry VIII, I guess, must have got.
That's not how you want to be remembered, big, fat, gouty king.
You don't remember by people wiping bits of you off their face.
Yeah.
That's not a good funeral, is it? If you're like, I mean, Tupac and William I in their own way, gave back after their death. Yeah, yeah. They both were involved.
It's like, you know what sky burial is?
Oh, yeah, with the Tibetans?
Yeah.
That do
and,
this?
And,
yeah.
And Buddhist monks who they're like, right, my body is, after I die, it's nothing. The best way I can give back is to become food for animals. So they're just like, leave me out on a mountain.
And the vultures
and the
come.
Vultures and the animals will come and eat me. And that's the best thing I can be.
But do you know it's someone's job to go and break the bones and mash it up so that the birds eat it? I found that out today. They're called like the bone smasher. It's just like this little Tibetan lady like smashing him up. Yeah, because I guess
what he would have wanted.
I guess it's what he wanted. But I don't know. I guess like it makes it easier to... I'd eat.
This is like a lot of these ambitious ways to be, like ambitious funerals or ambitious ways to die. It's a real pain in the ass to anybody you leave behind.
Yeah.
Your poor like partner having to be like, oh, actually he did say stripy suits. So please on your way.
He did want stripy suits and a sky burial. So yeah. If anyone can start smashing the bones, if we really, yeah, that's the thing is you have to be aware of what you're leaving, like your funeral plan. I think it's lovely to have an elaborate funeral plan, but if you are
leaving admin.
Yeah. There's a lot of admin after someone dies. If you're in the club, you know, like you've got to go through all their accounts and all the bloody house stuff, and then you've got to organise like an elaborate funeral.
Gotta go buy a football shirt.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I'd really want in a funeral necessarily is to have a coffin that's like 9 foot, and then so everyone was like, was he that tall?
With your feet at one end.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they open the head. They're like, he's not here.
You gotta borrow some feet.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes, so you got another guy squashed at the bottom. Yeah, yeah.
But very tall. You don't have to put someone in. You can just have some fake feet.
I'm trying to be economical here. You know, think about it. That person might not have had the money, the funds, the family funds to have a burial.
That's true.
So then they're like, right, well, let's just whack him in the bottom of Moors.
A poor homeless person in Glenn's fella. Coffin. Yeah, okay, we're with that.
I mean, Glenn's got a TV in there. You could have worse.
I think that would be hilarious to have feet at one end and then your actual head at the other.
Yeah.
So it really looks like it, but both ends open to prove.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everyone's like, he wasn't that tall. You look, there's his head, there's his feet. He was. It's
why obsessed with seeing his middle so much?
But it's like
a magician.
magician's assistant's
you
feet.
It's see, like
ladies' feet in stilettos and a red dress.
With all the admin you leave, I think everyone should put in charge of executing their will or whatever, whoever made them be a bridesmaid. You know, when you're made to be bridesmaids, like, oh, thank you,
genius.
6 months of WhatsApping all your friends and admin, I'll get you at my funeral.
Yeah.
That is an amazing idea.
That's my catchphrase, I'll get you at my funeral.
Oh my god, yes, there's a podcast called Hey Ladies, which is based on the emails you get when you're a bridesmaid, which is like, hey ladies, so everyone needs to pay me £150. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's what Sandra would want. And you're like, what? And then she has to organise your funeral. Yes, bitch.
Sandra.
Perfect.
Oh my god, that is so perfect.
I quite like the phrase, I'll get you at my funeral, just also for when someone gets you a pint.
Oh yeah.
I'll get you at my funeral. I'll get you at my funeral. Yeah. No big deal.
So Heidi, what do you think? Do you have any beliefs about where you're going? Do you think after? Where? What are you hoping? Or?
I'm hoping for the sweet oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm planning for that. Thank you. No, I don't think I was Christian when I was little and now I'm not. So I'm hoping it's nothing. Everyone says that thing of like, oh, why be scared of death when you're not sad that you didn't all the years before you were born that you didn't exist, but I resent that I wasn't awake for all those. So, but yeah, I think I'm hoping it's lights out,
nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be lovely to have heaven, but do you feel too nice?
I was sort of raised like, you know, a bit Christian, as in like that kind of Church of England school, Sunday school thing. So I sort of think, if there is a heaven, does it count that you got, you know, like I did 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was a child and I didn't have any acknowledgement of what I was saying, but I was there for 10 years.
No, so I think we get in more trouble if we used to believe it and stopped.
Oh, no. Yeah. I thought that was like a pension. I put 10 years in. Yeah. Like I was there for
slightly bigger flat in heaven.
Yeah, 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 come on.
Little terrace.
Raji, what do you think?
So I was raised in Hinduism, big like reincarnate. It'd be nice to be reincarnated.
It'd be nice.
I think that's like.
Are you jealous?
So done with this.
So done again.
Don't
oh man!
reset the test.
But you don't have to be a person. You could be.
But that's if you've not been good. Worse.
Not these days. I'm all right.
Even better. Those last two weeks, you've definitely committed some bad sins. Yeah. You've gone down the ladder a bit. You got reincarnated as.
Yeah, I guess.
Because the ultimate goal is to come back as a person. But if you were not as good, you come back less as an animal. Which I think if you're really good, you should come back as a dog. Like, that should be the ultimate. You come back as a dog.
A cat, surely. They've got a better life than a dog.
I don't know. A rich family's dog.
Yes, a rich family's dog.
Like, where, like, you're at the country house. So, like, Friday to Sunday, lots of attention, lots of treats. And then Monday to Friday, they're in the city. Yeah. You've just got time to do your own thing.
So you and the housekeeper work on your novel.
Yeah, work on your novel. Befriend some of the local wildlife.
Yeah.
Let the other know. Let
who
the other
used
neighborhood.
To be your neighbors in the yeah, former exactly. life.
Steve!
Oh my god.
Oh, you've gone down in the world.
That'll be
what you did at my party.
I think that should be like that should be what we're aiming for. That should be it.
Also, being an animal is quite nice because I was thinking the other day about how I'm fascinated how boring an animal must be. Because they've just got like this, like eat and then they maybe have sex and then they shit and sleep and that's and then exercise and they've kind of it must be incredibly boring, but they don't have the brain capacity, so they're just provided they get those five things they need, they're totally fine.
They're nailing mindfulness. They're really good
completely.
At that.
I remember I used to get really, really envious if ever I was like going back to visit my family over Christmas when I was at uni, and if ever I was like really struggling with an essay, and I just look at my parents' dog and be like, "You don't have to write about the Victorian."
Yeah,
and I just couldn't. I was so jealous of this dog. So jealous because I was like, you just get to sleep under a desk for hours.
Yeah.
And obviously, in the wider scheme of things, I don't want that. But in the time, if there's a time and a place where you go, I'd love that.
Yeah. I keep getting that with babies on the tube and they're being carried. I'm like, you lucky. But then I think, oh, but you got to go through all that crap I had to do. Now.
You're
going to do puberty, you loser.
You've got to buy a protractor at some point and a compass.
It's not even going to be necessary. Babies suck is what I said.
That's long term.
I mean,
like,
congratulations.
I love you guys. You guys are so angry with babies and dogs.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's a dangerous thing to say about animals to be like, they're boring. Like, have you seen what octopuses can do?
Yes, it's terrifying.
They are so clever. Yeah. They are not just doing five things and going, oh, those guys are worrying about climate change and hoping we're doing something about it.
They've got a Sudoku on the go.
Oh my God.
Isn't there a video of an octopus getting through a tiny hole and you're like, there's a video
of an octopus escaping, opening his own tank in a zoo, going out across the floor, going back into his tank and relocking it. What?
And he committed identity theft while he was out. And no one ever knew because he was still in there.
Look, I eat meat, but I think eating octopuses is not... Like, they're just so clever. My daughter's just really got into watching sea creature videos.
I think on the reincarnation ladder, octopuses are probably above us then. Like, above us, you've got octopuses, dolphins.
Whales,
they have a good time. Whales. Bonobos, it's all just wanking and throwing your shit around. Sounds wicked.
Yeah, it's like being a really irresponsible human.
Yeah,
in like a really hot country.
Yeah, like bonobos, most like monkeys, chimps and stuff, they have all of the fun of being a human and none of the responsibility.
Did you say shrimps?
Oh, chimps.
Oh, chimps.
A shrimpanzee. Yeah.
Those shrimps, Heidi, they have a great time. Oh my God.
I'm back as a shrimp.
So Roger, do you think you might come back?
It'd be nice to come back.
To this podcast.
Yeah, you know, just
I'd love him as a different guest if you get reincarnated. Yeah,
I think it'd be really cool to come back because you just like I kind of think a lot about the fact that like we are, despite the fact that we, you know, everybody's a different person, we're exactly the same because we all want the same things and we all feel pain the same way and we all feel stress and whatever, and so it'd just kind of be nice to do it in someone else's shoes. Maybe this time I'll have straight hair and I'll be short and a lady or something.
I love that what you said was really deeply profound, but in a really jolly way. And I was I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm on board with Hinduism. Yeah, I was just completely converted there.
I think that's just me. I don't know if that's Hinduism.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Glenn, what do you think is going to happen?
I think realistically, nothing. And I hope that isn't the case. I can't get my head around the idea that your consciousness can just switch off. I don't understand. I don't know that it happens when you go to sleep. It vanishes, you know, but that's at least what it feels like. So I can't get my head around the idea that it would completely go away. But at the same time, I think realistically, I can't imagine there being a heaven or anything. Like,
doesn't follow it. It can't follow its own rules. It doesn't make. I don't understand how it would
work. You've got a lot of questions.
The infrastructure would just be all over. I think I'd love reincarnation if you're aware of it. So if you become reincarnated and you go, oh right, okay, yeah, I'm an ant this time. Fucked up somewhere down the line, but okay, okay, right. We'll do, you know, we'll give us a go. I had this horrible thought earlier on in the year that. And I really hope this isn't the case. The world, say, lasts for however many sort of billion years, and there is one consciousness, and we're all the same consciousness. And what happens is you live your life, and then once you die, you get sent back to, like, say, 2,000 years ago, and you're someone in Bethlehem, and you're that life, and then you zip forward like quantum leap, and you keep doing it, and then basically until you have lived the life of every single person. Over there, and so we were all just the same person, and then it would, and then so like you'd be sort of like, oh god, now I've got to diagnose myself with that disease because I did that millions of minutes. Yeah, I hope it's not that. All I'm saying is, I hope it's not that thing I made up.
Exhausting.
What a long life. Yeah.
But, well, Glenn, everybody just went.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Like, that's more bleak than
exactly,
hell.
Exactly. Like,
take hell. Like, what?
I would then have to live as my dad and watch Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe on Easter Sunday again 11 years ago. I'd be like, I know what happens here. But yeah.
That would be the top of the annoying list.
I've heard that before in like a ethical argument where they're like, well, if you believe that you should never be cruel to anyone because you're just being cruel to yourself and we're all the same person.
Mm.
Which is, I don't know if that's ethics being like, well, you're just being cruel to yourself. It's just like,
yeah, well, yeah, you're right. And I am the most important thing. So thank you very much.
Exactly. I think it would be a more considerate way of living your life than that sort of, I think, Truman Show idea that some people have, that they're sort of like, well, but the world is about me because why else am I living it?
So someone pushes past you on the tube and you, instead of being like, fuck you, you're like, that's me in a hurry. Good luck, me.
Yeah. I hope you got where you needed to go.
Yeah.
I understand why you're being a huge asshole.
Yeah.
And then when you live it thousands of years down the line, you're like, I just wanted to buy some sweets. Was that it?
I'm such an asshole. Why have I learned nothing? Oh my God. Well, listen, thank you so much for talking to me about death and grief and funerals and all sorts of things. Thank you very, very much to guys in St. Thomas's. And I'm just going to say it, the Let's Talk Transforming End of Life Care Conversations, which is why we're here. Please give a round of applause for your amazing guests. You've had Glenn Moore, Rajiv Karia, and Heidi Reagan. I've been Carrie Lloyd. Thank you very much. Good night. You can follow Heidi on Twitter at Heidi_Reagan, R-E-G-A-N. You can follow Rajiv on Twitter at Rajiv A. Karia. That's R-A-J-I-V-A. K-A-R-I-A, says the dyslexic very proudly. And you can follow Glenn on Twitter at The News at Glenn, and that's Glenn with two N's. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Griefcast. The show was edited by Kate Holland with thanks to Whistledown Studios. The music was provided by The Glue Ensemble. And remember, you are not alone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.